Hello and welcome back to Matchroom Radio. I am your host, David Diamante, and today we are in Manchester, England with two great guests. I'm with Gamal and Calify ahead of Saturday's show here in Manchester in the north. Gentlemen, great to see you. How you doing?
I'm good, David. I'm good. How about yourself?
Yeah, really good, man. What about you, Gamal?
I'm good, man. I'm wicked. How are you?
Yeah, really good, man. It's always great to see you guys. Puts a smile on my face. Let's jump straight into it. Gamal, you're defending your European Super Bantamweight title against the Iceman, Jason Cunningham, on Saturday. How's training been?
Yeah, training's been good. I've been working hard, training hard, dieting hard, just ready to go now. Ready to go on Saturday night. I was sparring well. Good to get a bit of momentum now and crack on.
Has it been difficult during this time of COVID to get the right sparring partners and the right training, or has it been not too bad?
Yeah, I've been lucky with sparring. I've had some good sparring and I'm ready to go.
Yo, Cal, you fought Jason. You got a landslide unanimous decision victory when you won the vacant British title back in October of 2015. What do you recall fighting Jason?
To be honest, I remember him being tough, very gritty fighter, but it was a pretty easy night for me, if I'm being completely honest.
It's tough, like he was just a tough.
Yeah.
Like he could take a lot, yeah, or yeah, he was tough for you.
No. He just took a lot and done well to survive, but he didn't really pose much of a threat.
Okay.
So.
Have you passed on any words to your brother about? About Jason?
Yeah. I've told him what I think I expect of him, and what he will more than likely do. But now it's down to him to go and do his thing
and go and make it happen. So you just got off the scales. What did you? How'd you refuel? What'd you eat?
I had Nando's
afterwards. Some peri peri, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm good. I've fueled. Hydrated and I'm ready to go now.
You feel good?
Yeah, man, wicked.
What's this period like? Like the night before a fight, you know, for fans who might not be aware, is this just kind of like chilling out, relaxing? Is it more of a mental game? Are you eating more? What are you doing?
Yeah, pretty much. Obviously, eat and drink and chill out. Just chill out in Carl's room, chill out with a few of the coaches and just sit back and chill. Literally, that's all it is. Just waiting to, you know, if it's the time to, you know, go by and me get in the ring and fight.
Is it kind of just like the work has been done? Yeah. So
yeah, pretty much everything's been done. I'm looking forward to, I'm quite buzzing to get in the ring and fight, because I haven't fought in the UK in a good while. So I'm glad to be here, you know, European champion and fighting on Sky Sports.
Yeah, this is your maiden defense too, right?
Yeah. So my first defense, you know, I'm happy to be here.
It's an exciting fight. Talking of weigh-ins and weight, Cal, you're moving up in weight for your ring return. Yep. Was this a case of just being like a natural move, or was your body telling you to move up? What was that like?
Yeah, I think my body's been telling me to move up for a long time, but it's like my body's screaming for me to move up.
Yeah.
But I wanted that big, big fight, and I got it. Didn't go my ways. But I learned a lot, and the first thing, you know, I knew how to do. Straight after the fight, Eddie said to me, you have to move up. And that's what I'm doing.
Can we talk about that fight just for a second? So I remember it really well in Texas.
Yep.
Against Chocolatito, for the listeners out there. Legend of the game. Had an incredible fight back in Texas, and the decision didn't go his way, but a lot of people thought that he won.
He won the fight.
Yeah, a lot of people think he did. But was that I remember that, and it's like you're Britain's longest reigning world champion going into that, and you were really on a high, and it's like, I know you were buzzing to get that fight, and of course, Chocolatito with the big name and kind of a legend in the sport, especially in a super flyweight division. Was that kind of a case? Do you think you looked up to him a little too much in that fight?
Not really, no. I don't think that was the case. I respect near enough every fighter I get in the ring with, unless if bad mouth me or really piss me off. but he's, you know, he's a humble guy, brilliant for the sport, brilliant for the lighter weights, and obviously I've looked looked up to him and watched his fights coming through from the early days. But it was just a fact, I think, that I just couldn't do things that I wanted to do in there. And who knows, even if I could do them, maybe it would have just been too good.
Why couldn't you do the things you wanted to do? How do you
I
mean?
Just think, I just, like I said after the fight, I'd never make excuses because, you know, it's just the way I am, and he deserves all the credit for what he did.
But, no excuses, but yeah, I'm curious.
Just, yeah, you just, I just think I was just way outgrown the weight. I'd struggled in my last two fights before that. You were there in Monaco as
yeah.
well, and that was really hard. In Providence, it was the same.
Sure.
And I think in Texas, it was just a bit. It was just. I just took it too far.
Okay.
Just
a little drain from the weight.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I just knew that I didn't have the energy in me. I never had the fuel in me to be able to go 12 rounds, and that's why I kind of put it on him early. I knew I've got 4 or 5 rounds.
Sure, you
to
had
get
some
him
good,
out of there,
right?
And the thing is, with Chocolatito, if you can't do 12 rounds with him, you're in trouble.
And that guy has an engine, man.
Yep,
he just keeps going. But a lot of the guys, a lot of these guys at the lower weights do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of them do. But I just think with myself, even though I was struggling, I was still managing to beat world class fighters pretty easily. But I think there's a difference between beating world-class fighters and beating elite fighters. You need a bit more.
Yeah, like they always say, there's levels to it. And like you just said, there's the elite fighters.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And it's a different game. It must be a scary place when you're in the ring and cerebrally you know what you want to do, but physically you can't pull it off.
Yeah, when your reactions aren't there.
Yeah.
It's not a nice place to be.
Yeah, that's got to be a deep, dark place to be. Now, Gamal, you scored a huge win on your ring return in December over Luca Rigaldi in Milan, and you won the European title. That must have been quite an emotional fight, you know, obviously, given the two big injuries that you had leading up to that point. Can you just kind of, for us, describe the feeling when you heard, and the new?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was mad for me because... obviously, in the fight, I knew I'd won the fight, but I wasn't quite too sure because of the judges.
Yeah, you were overseas.
Yeah, so I was thinking, obviously, I'm the kind of their way fighter. He's a champion, I'm the challenger, you know. But I was very, you know, I knew 99% that I'd won the fight. And when I'd won it, I was just buzzing because, obviously, the 2 years I had prior to that with the injuries and not fighting, not being on TV... and not being a champion, and obviously winning that European champion was a big thing for me. And when I won it, I was a proud moment. I was buzzing. I was.
Couldn't you see? Didn't you see how happy he was? Didn't you see his lap of honor around the ring?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you see all corner posts he climbed up on?
Exactly. But speaking of those injuries, I mean, you ruptured your right bicep.
Yeah.
And then right after. You ruptured your left, and you're right-handed.
Yeah, so obviously I fought in Birmingham September 2018. I was fighting, winning pretty comfortably, on the verge of stopping the kid, and then I hit him with a right hand. To this day, I don't know if I landed or if it missed, but I just felt my arm just go, and I knew, because Coward ruptured his bicep a couple of years before, I just knew straight away that I'd ruptured mine too, and then... I got the win, ended up knocking him out with my left hand, and then got operation on it. A week later, I was out the ring till I was meant to make my comeback about 8 months later, and then my last week of training, I ruptured my left bicep. So it was a nightmare.
But, that is an absolute nightmare.
So yeah, I was out for another from had operation in the beginning of May the 3rd, I think it was, had operation on my left bicep, and then I fought in the following November, just in the Stay Busy fight, and then ready to fight for the European title in the following March, and then obviously COVID kicked in, and then bloody, I was out for another year. I didn't fight for 40 months, until I fought for the European title. So it was a big, for me to go over there, rip the total off him with so long out the ring is a big for me. So that's
awesome. A big victory. Did you think after the surgery there's a chance you might not even box again?
Yeah. So after my second bicep, I remember saying to Cal, when it had gone out, he'd come to the gym and I just says, I think that's it for me, because I just thought if this is going to be happening all the time, because that's the thing, I was quite paranoid. I kept thinking, like, even if I get my biceps done, they're just going to keep going. And it wasn't until, obviously, I had the operation, I spoke with the man who had done the operation, and I said, like, will I be able to box still? And he was like, yeah. He said, they won't rupture ever again. He said, it would be a miracle if any of your biceps go. So that gave me confidence and, you know, strengthened my biceps, and I'm back now.
What's the recovery process on something like that?
So I literally, for 3 months, you don't pretty much do anything. You're just not doing much. And then after that, you're doing strengthening, like...
just physical therapy.
Yeah. And we're just doing that for another 3 months, and then... You know, 6 months, it's all in, and you're back in, really.
So. And now you're feeling strong.
Yeah, now my biceps don't cause me any problems. Where before, even before the operations, they always caused me problems, and now they don't cause me any.
Well, that's at least a good thing. Cal, injuries, unfortunately, are, you know, part and parcel of boxing.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, when you're a prospect coming through, you smash your training 100%, 3 times a day. But then as age creeps in... You know, you got to be careful. And so is it just a case of, you know, listening to your body a little bit more, knowing where your limitations are and where you should push things and where you should kind of let up a little bit?
Yeah, most definitely. I think it's more of working smart instead of working hard. Listening to your body, knowing your body. I know my body, you know, I've been in this game a long time. I've ruptured my bicep. I ruptured my bicep in like my 8th fight. And then I went through the same process as him.
Kamal, did you obviously were around when that happened with Cal.
Yeah.
Did that give you at least a little bit of hope that you can get through this?
Yeah, I did. I just thought, he's done it and he's gone on and become world champion. Why can't I? So obviously, yeah. The first bicep, it bothered me, but I wasn't, you know, in... I was quite, the second time I was quite depressed than that, because the first time I was, it is what it is, crack on, get the operation, I'll be back soon, and that's that. And because it was Christmas coming up as well, I thought the Christmas break, well, you know, it would delay things a bit, so, but the second one, that done me, that did. That's when I thought, like, maybe, you know, call it a day.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go back a little bit to early life with the Yafai brothers. And we'll talk about your brother Galal shortly, but when did you guys both first lace up the gloves for the first time?
So basically I was on holiday in Spain years ago. I would have been about 7, 8, and then I forget I was in a pool with my mum, and my mum said to me, "What do you want for your birthday?" Because this was in July, and my birthday was in the August.
How old were you then?
I was probably going on 8, and I said to do boxing. I want to go to box, because I used to love Prince Nassim, and I just thought I want to do boxing. So when I got back after the holiday, she took me to a boxing gym, and then it kicked off from there. And then I remember coming back and saying to Cal, "Why don't you come and join?" And he didn't want to come.
You weren't into it.
I went into boxing. I just thought, no, I'm not into boxing.
What did you like?
You know what? I didn't really like anything.
Much, never.
Like, I was one of them kids that just wanted to play out with my mates, kick a ball around.
Yeah, sure.
That's about it.
But did you like to watch sports at all?
Not really. I like to play football a lot. What was it now? PS1.
Yeah, we play.
You like the PlayStation?
We play footy and that sometimes. I just love fight. I would just always be a hyper kid.
David, he's a very hyper kid with bad attitude. Like that, you know, that proper naughty kid.
Yeah.
You know, that wants to just get into a fight with anyone over anything. You take a sweet, he's going to chin you. He's that kind of kid. He was a horrible kid.
No, I wasn't that bad.
Yeah, he was. He was a horrible kid. Nasty stuff about him.
So, yeah, I asked him, "Do you want to come to the gym?" He wasn't on it. And then I went back, loved it. Then eventually I said to him, "Come back a few months later, come to the gym." And he followed me to the gym. We went together. And then I actually fell off it a bit. I kind of... I had my gob at it for a couple of months and I got a bit bored. So he carried on it. He started to love it and I started to hate it. And then I had a break for a couple of years. And I just watched him become successful. He's winning national championships.
No, but from the beginning, I was dog shit. Remember?
Yeah, but then you was
I was dog shit. Where I won my first fight, and then I'd lose I lost 7 fights in a row, and then we moved to another boxing club.
We moved to another one,
and then I become good.
It starts just clicked.
Yeah, but
you stuck to it.
We've done loads of sparring and stuff,
and yeah, loads. I mean, you
and Galal as well.
Battered you a few times.
Gamal reckons he battered me a few times.
Yeah, I did. But it just won't ever meet. He's probably don't let him, but yeah.
Is there just 3 of you?
No. We've got other brothers and sisters, but they don't box.
They don't box.
You know, but how many total brothers and sisters?
No, we've got one sister.
Four
brothers.
There are 4 of you as brothers.
Yeah, 4.
So it's 5 total. So 4 boys and a girl.
Five boys and one girl.
Oh man, you got the full house. You guys got the full house going.
And I'm the oldest, so. Yeah. And you know the oldest always batters.
Nah, but you know what, honestly, yeah. And then
who gets the best of it, really?
Nah. But when I first started boxing, I used to give it him. I did, and he knows it, but then...
what's the age difference between
two,
you guys?
2 years.
You guys are close.
So after when I fell off boxing a bit and weren't interested in it, he started doing well and whatever, and then I came back then because I was seeing him having all this success. I thought I've got to have some. So and then yeah, he used to give it me, you know what I mean. But then times have changed now. Obviously, I'm a lot bigger, and I just give me a little slap around the every now and then.
The thing is, David, if you've seen a spa now,
you wouldn't.
There's no point watching a spa. You might as well watch Gamal shadow box tomorrow night warming up. That's what it's like. He's just hitting air.
Wow.
Brett gets very frustrated. You can see him. You know when he always go red and that. He's mean little face.
Stop lying.
What were you guys like in school? Was it?
I don't even talk about school.
School was bad, man.
Was it?
When we go back, we went back there a couple of years ago, and they actually can't believe how we are.
You guys are notorious.
Because we were like, I'll be honest, I was a naughty kid in school.
Also, what did you used to do?
I don't even want to say on here.
I'll
just walk out. If I want to go to McDonald's for lunch, I'm walking out of school where you're not allowed to walk out. I'm just walking out. Teach tells them to get back. I'm telling them to do one. I'm doing what I want. I don't know.
But the school was kind of a rough school.
Yeah, it was a rough school. Yeah.
So it was like.
And this is in the West Midlands. This is Birmingham.
Yeah.
So it was that bad.
My mum, we had a little brother, Galal, and when he'd finished primary school, my mum was like, there's no way he's going to the same secondary school as you two. So she took him to another school, which was a good school, and he had the nice school
with, you know, the nice people in there, where we were in the shit hole, really.
Yeah.
Did you guys get decent grades?
No. I didn't even finish school.
Well, the only thing I got was BTEC, but decent in, you know.
Okay.
I left school early. I followed my boxing dreams.
Yeah, and they came true.
Thank God that paid off. Otherwise, I'd be in the shit.
They came true. What did your folks do?
My mom was a
single parent.
Yeah, single parent, but like, just helps the women
she worked for that NHS breastfeeding
support and all that stuff.
Yeah, wow.
She helps people with mental issues and that. Yeah, mental health.
Amazing. Wow, she had a full house there.
It's funny because we were talking about it earlier, just saying, like, because obviously I've got a son now, so my missus will go, he's driving me up the wall, and I'm just like, bloody hell, just think, yeah, my mum had it.
It's karma coming back to you.
But my mum had it on her own with not much, you know, no support.
Yeah.
And it was me, Cal, Galal just being tearaways, and I always say to her, like, Ness. Bloody, my mum had it a lot worse. At least with her, she's got support of her family, support of my family, support from me. You know, so she's got it lucky compared to what my mum had it. You know,
full respect to your mom, man. So, okay, you guys are obviously flying the flag for the Ifai family in the pro game, but your brother Galal, you were talking about him, he's got his sights set on Olympic glory this summer. this 1 year delay, obviously due to COVID, do you think that's been a help or a hindrance to him?
A help.
Okay.
At the time, he thought it was a hindrance.
Okay.
He thought, I don't want to be doing this for another year. I'm ready to go to the Olympics. And I'm ready to go pro. But he went to he went to his first tournament since COVID started last month. He went to Serbia.
Yeah, he was in Belgrade, right?
Yeah. And he had two good wins out there.
Mm.
And then he had a cut on his eye, so that's to pull him out. But he said, you know what, that year was the best thing that could have happened to me. Because he had to move up in weight. He's filled into the weight.
Sure.
He felt strong, he felt sharp, he felt really good. And I think he's going to be one to watch at Tokyo.
You agree, Glau?
Yeah. He's unbelievable, Glau. I've seen his sparring training at Sheffield, and you know he's looking unbelievable. And like you say, he's a lot bigger now, stronger. He can punch for bloody 12 rounds if you ask him to. Wow. He's just non-stop on you, literally. He's definitely Olympic. He's a favorite to get Olympic medal, 100%.
Now, let's say that he turns 29 this December. Yeah. Does he have aspirations to turn pro?
Yeah, he can't wait.
He can't wait.
and I mean, do you think he'll obviously be fast-tracked?
Very fast-tracked. And I think, yeah. I'm not even saying it because he's my own brother, but he's a big problem, especially when he turns pro, and the flyweight division will be...
He's quality. Yeah. Great. I can't wait to see it. And you guys, obviously, you know, we talked about you from Birmingham. I mean, you proudly represent your city. We've got a guy on the card making his pro debut this Saturday, Saul Dakers.
Yep.
Do you know Saul? What can you tell us about Saul?
Yeah, he's a very good fighter. He's from like the Smethwick area, so he's from the GB squad as well. So I've seen him come through there.
Yeah.
Very talented heavyweight, and he's had a good sparring to bring him through. He sparred them all. You know, Joshua, Fraser Clark, he's been sparring like Dubois and Joe Joyce, so can't get better than that. So I'm looking forward to seeing him tomorrow night.
That is quality, absolutely. And the heavyweight division, super exciting. Speaking of Birmingham, though, also, you know, obviously you got Sam Eggington.
Yeah.
Got Saul Dakers, got you yourselves. Who else is coming out of the West Midlands that we should be keeping our eye on? Anyone out there?
There's, you know what it is? There's a lot of good amateurs from Birmingham. So, like, there's obviously Galau, there's Ben Whittaker, there's Noah Farrell. Who else? There'd be a few others that I won't
probably know. Delicious Ori.
Delicious.
He's from Wolverhampton, but he's only up the road. But
So, they're
when from when you're looking at, you know, prospects coming through for the long term, they're tremendously talented.
Yeah, they're really talented. So obviously when they go pro, they'll be the next ones to turn over and, you know, do well.
Well, I mean, listen, we haven't been to Birmingham since, I think it was Con Vargas. That was our last event there. Yeah. What would it be like to just do like a homecoming, like a double header with both of you guys on the card? Would you want to do that?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I had my first world title defense in Birmingham, and that was great. It would be great, you know, do a double header. Me, Gamal, and even Galal come back as an Olympic champion.
Yeah.
You know, making his debut in Birmingham, the card of all three brothers, that would be mad.
Come on, man. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be big, man. Especially if he gets an Olympic medal. Cal's got, you know, another world title, and I've got my first world title, then that would be massive for, you know, for Birmingham, that would.
Yeah, it'd be huge. I mean, Cal, you're just talking about when, you know, you made history back in December 2016. When you fought Luis Concepcion, become Birmingham's first ever world champion. I mean, what a proud moment.
Yeah, you know, it was.
Is this, I mean, do you dwell on this accolade? Do you think about it like that? Or, you know, obviously you're still active. So is it one of those things where you just say, like, look, when it's all said and done, I'll think back. But right now it's still grind.
Yeah, I think it's just one of them things where you look back when you're done. But at the moment it's like, I've still got loads to achieve, loads I want to achieve, and still young and fresh, so I'm looking forward to it. But obviously that night was like a mad moment for me.
Yeah, unreal.
Winning world title on a big card as well, you know.
Mm.
There were so many good fighters on there. Yeah, Joshua Molina, Chisora White, Callum Smith was on there, Katie Taylor, Scott Quigg, you know,
stacked.
It's a stacked card, and that'll be a night I'll never forget.
Unreal, man. Well, I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see your fight tomorrow, but I can't wait to see you guys both back in the ring and see what Galal brings. Also, it'd be great to see the brothers Jafai.
You'll enjoy him. You'll enjoy him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's one of them. He's on you. He's like a little Marvin Hagler, like a mini Marvin Hagler. God rest his soul.
I like it. All right. Well, the fans have a lot of questions for you, so we're going to go ahead and go to get to some of these. We have at Hen14RY ask Cal, you've not boxed in England since 2017. Will we see you on the home turf for your return?
I hope so. My team will sit down with Eddie and Frank and then see what's what. But it'll be nice to be back.
Try to work out a date.
Yeah. Work something out. Be back in England. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I look forward to doing that.
All right, great. All right, Freddie Charrington asks Gamal, win this and surely it's time to make a further dent in the world rankings. Have you plotted a path in your head towards a world title?
I probably haven't plotted one, but, you know, obviously with Matchroom and how big they are, you know, I'm sure they can use their power to get me a world title shot. I'm not looking too much into it now. Just get this out of the way.
Yeah, you got a tough fight with Jason, man.
Yeah, and then I'd like, you know, fringe world level fight before I jump in with the big guys. Mm-hmm. Then I'm ready, and I'll be ready.
Absolutely. Okay, Lewis Pebbleton asked Cal, you've trained alongside and shared bills with Anthony Joshua. Does he beat Fury?
Yeah, I believe so. I know both guys, you know, traveled with both as amateurs, but I just think Joshua's just, I wouldn't say like all wrong for Tyson, but I just think puts his punches together well, punches very hard, explosive, quick. He isn't a one-trick pony like Deontay Wilder with just the right hand.
And strong.
Very strong.
Man, can't wait for this fight. Can't wait for this fight. All right, Eddie Hepper asked Gamal, what was it like walking out in front of a packed Wembley Stadium, then fighting just before Frotch Groves 2 in May 2014?
Oh, bloody hell, I remember actually. I was nerve-wracking. I don't want to go to my. I was twitching, put it that way.
Were you? Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Is it like that? But was it because of the big crowd, or is it like that for you anyway? When you walk out for a fight?
Nah, and to be fair, it was just because it was that. Because I remember I had my debut, and I was nervous then, but I was much more nervous for the Wembley for my second fight, and because obviously I'd come out and then I'd just seen. Like 80,000 people there, and I remember like getting.
Was it 80,000?
Frotch will tell you that. So I remember getting in the ring, and looking down and seeing Mark Wright and Michelle Keegan. And bloody hell, all these stars that I watch on telly, bloody about to watch me have a, you know, straightener basically in the ring. so he's a bit nervous on that. And yeah, but it was wicked, and you know, I'll never forget that night. It was a sick night.
Unreal, man. Unreal. Gamal, Cal, great seeing you guys, and I really appreciate you spending the time to sit down and talk to me today.
Anytime. I know it's good to see you, David.
And I just wish you guys the best of luck, and I can't wait to see the great futures that you guys have and obviously the great stuff that you've done before. So, okay, we're done here in Manchester. Don't forget to tune in to Sky Sports in the UK and Ireland, plus DAZN around the world for tomorrow night's show. And I have a sneaking suspicion we're going to be back next week with a remote episode of Matchroom Radio, so everyone stay tuned. And until then, I'm your host, David Diamante, and everyone have a great weekend.